organized here.
So is everybody making out okay? Yeah?
Y'all made it here, so
that's a good thing.
It's a long walk. It's a long walk, okay. Well, gas is so cheap, I thought you'd be driving around all over the place. Feel like I'm a 16-year-old again. Gas, I can fill up for $5 and I'm grounded. Hallelujah. I want to read from John, the 20th chapter, and starting in verse 19. Last week was Easter Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus was resurrected and appeared to Mary Magdalene, right? And so we're picking up the story there, just after his encounter with Mary Magdalene. And Jesus is going to appear to the disciples. It's a wonderful story. It speaks for itself. So let's just read. John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that's a Sunday, right? The doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They're isolated, right? They are in lockdown for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. So the lock didn't stop him. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." This is the Prince of Peace, and his greeting is, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so am I sending you." There's your call to ministry. As the Father has sent Jesus, even so I'm sending you, he says, to you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from them, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Which is exactly what Mary had said, right? "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. That's inside the room. And Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And they said, then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Hallelujah. There's your word, Dawson. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believed." Hallelujah. That's the admonition to us. So good what Jesus is doing today, I think. Thomas is an interesting guy. We call him Doubting Thomas, or Thomas the Doubter, right? Because he doubted what he had heard, needed to see. And so he's kind of got a bad shake, a bad rep throughout the ages. But I don't think he's such a bad guy, and I want to talk about that a little bit. We here love conspiracy theories. In North America, even in Europe, they love them. You know, right from JFK, who killed JFK, the 9/11 thing, Elvis's death, all kinds of the moon launching. All of those things have conspiracy theories around them, don't they? People wonder. I've looked into some of them, and it's fun. It's interesting. People are doubting the stories that they're getting. And some of that's healthy, I think, and I want to talk about that just a little bit. We love a good conspiracy theory, and our weakness for paranoid fantasies is actually embedded in our history. Starts with Thomas, I think, because he was dealing with that sort of thing. The American founding fathers, they came up with their Declaration of Independence because they say that there was a movement in England to enslave all of the colonists. And so they, that's a conspiracy. They're conspiring against us. We need to come up with our own answer to that before they move. Preemptive strike. And there's no evidence of it now, but it's pretty well established that that may have been the motivation for them to do those things, to do the Declaration of Independence. Anyway, whether you believe in the little black helicopters that everybody is so concerned about, or Roswell, or any of those conspiracy theory ties, people that search for the truth, I think, need to be applauded. Every community needs ones that don't just take for granted everything that they're told. And yet, in balance of that, we need to be believers, right? There have been cults that forced you to believe, and then became death cults, so that everybody died in the cult because they took a suicide pact. No one was questioning whether it was a good thing or not. A questioner is always good to have amongst us. It makes us think just a little bit. And so Thomas, I think, was that very guy, and we need to honor that, I think. Jeffrey Epstein was a wealthy financier, and he was put in jail for really not good things, but they say that he had the goods on a number of very powerful people in Washington, and so it was reported that he'd committed suicide, but most people don't believe he actually committed suicide. They think he was killed by those powerful people. Have I got enough juice on this? Yeah. So another conspiracy theory, a late conspiracy theory. And if you follow this one, the one that we're currently involved in, is this a conspiracy? Has the New World Order made their big move? Are we involved in something bigger than a virus? This virus is huge. But it came. Everybody came into agreement so suddenly and moved so quickly that it makes you wonder: are they conspiring against us to take over the world? Maybe. What do we do? How do we fight against that? Because they won't let us meet. So how do we do that? You do it with Jesus himself. Here's something I'd like you to think about. Whether it is a conspiracy or not, this is healthy, I think. There are different theories in psychology about breaking a habit and making a habit. They say that either can be done in 21 days. Some people say that. Some say more. Some say it takes motivation to make a habit or break a habit. But say 21 days is it. So the motivation, they say, that will make a habit is fear. Fear will make habits within 21 days. So here we are in fear, developing habits of not trusting our neighbors, not moving in love, moving in sometimes hatred. Have you gone the wrong way in one of those lines? Man, if they had guns, you would be toast. It's a terrible thing out there. And so what's happening psychologically is that people are being programmed. Now, this is not some conspiratorial delusion that I'm talking about. This is psychological fact. They are programming us to not trust our neighbors. And that can't be a good thing when the very foundation of who we are is to love. So what do we do about that? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said that that he wanted us to have a shot of joy every day. Joy is our word for the year. And as I looked at that word, I thought, bad word, misheard, must have been eating pizza the night before. But I think it's a good word now. I believe that the world is in a prime time to recognize and receive the power and value of the God-given gift of joy.
Hallelujah.
In his presence is fullness of joy.
Hallelujah.
We come into his presence, right? And you can do that alone. Last week we talked about being isolated with Jesus. And here we have this opportunity. So Jesus wants you to be full of his joy. Last week, I gave you a homework assignment. Everybody goes, huh? I asked you to read John 17. And in John 17, it's okay, I'm not giving you demerit points. In John 17, Jesus said in verse 13, I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. So Jesus said, I'm coming to you, Dad, that these guys can have my joy in fullness. How can that be? Because he's going to come and live in us. It's amazing. We have the most joyful one in the entire universe living within us. And to make us even happier, God sent his Holy Spirit into our lives to comfort us. The Holy Spirit has a happy knack for supernaturally lifting our burdens. But it gets even better. The Bible says that the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's out of Galatians 5. That word joy is in there again. Love, joy, peace. We have both the joy of Jesus and the joy of the Holy Spirit residing in us every day. So if you're being told indirectly, subliminally, to fear, you can actually move in the opposite spirit of that. You can move in the opposite spirit by an act of your will and access that joy every single day. And so you're going to come out of this in a place that your neighbors will not recognize. While they're fearing everybody else, you'll be happy. And they'll think you're deluded until you pray for them and they get healed. And then they'll want to know why you're happy. And you get a chance to tell them. So here we have a chance, an opportunity, I think it's a God-given time to be with Jesus even just a few minutes a day, and access that joy. In His presence is joy. Is joy. Is joy. And joy to the full. And we can have that because where is His presence? With you. Right? If He lives in you, it must be with you. Doesn't take a lot to put that together. Even I could do that. So my point to you today is here's an opportunity. If you're motivated to make money in times of incredible crisis, the people that come out ahead are the ones that make their move during the crisis. Right? Not a very good example, but Canadian, the Bronfman family, they own many, many things now. But when the prohibition in the States was happening, they recognized that they're just kind of across the river, across the lake from the United States, and they can't have alcohol. And so they thought, we'll borrow some money and buy some fast boats. So they bought fast boats, took alcohol to the States, not ever caught by the revenuers, and they made a fortune, and they continue to make that fortune today. They were willing to do something different than everybody else was doing. Wow. So we're all believers here. I challenge you to access the joy that's within you instead of going with the herd. Continue to honor the law of the land. I'm not asking you to break any laws. I'm not asking you to do anything that would come against what the government is saying, but you can come out on a higher plane, a higher level than when you went into this thing. You have the time. Why not use it? Make a new habit. You have at least 21 days to get into this one because it's just the middle of April now. They say that you're going to be the end of May before anything happens, really. And so here you have an opportunity to do something and the time to do something. It's not just, oh, yes, that's a good idea, but I don't have any time. You do so. If you don't, you're breaking the law, probably. So, anyway, let me get back to our friend Thomas. Thomas was the original truther, I think. So, here's what was happening back then. Jesus had died. Jesus was put into a tomb. The tomb was sealed with a big stone. Big stone. The priests and the Pharisees were so afraid that something would happen, they put Roman soldiers to guard the tomb. And somehow, the one who was in the tomb got out. So how do you deal with that? The first theory that was back then, the first conspiracy theory, was that he had swooned. It's the swoon theory. And that's legitimate. It's been through the last 2,000 years. It's been purported that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross, that he actually swooned. He kind of passed out. Yeah, that's right. These people didn't think it through, I think. That he passed out and that they took him to the grave and that he kind of staggered out later. And and so, like, they're forgetting that he had a Roman spear through his side, which would probably have killed him. They're forgetting that the Romans were experts in making people suffer and die in horrible ways. They knew when somebody was dead. They could tell. and for someone who had swooned to move a stone of that size is like he'd have to be Superman, not a savior. It's just bizarre. And so it couldn't have been that he swooned. Another conspiracy theory that was at that time was the one that was actually presented by the Pharisees and scribes. So the Roman soldiers, the tough as nails guys that were so afraid of the angel came and reported that the tomb was empty. The Pharisees and scribes said, "Your story is that his disciples came and took the body, and now they're saying he's alive." Well, there's a problem with that, is that none of those guys was brave enough to do any of that. They all disappeared. There was only one of them at the cross, John. The other brave ones were women. The rest of them were afraid. And here we catch up with them this morning in a room locked so that nobody else can get in. They're afeared. These are not brave people going down to steal the body, take on Roman soldiers. These were farmers, fishermen. These were tax collectors. They're not guys that would fight a Roman soldier. So they didn't steal his body. So we have a problem there. So after the death of Jesus, the disciples were hiding behind locked doors. They heard from Mary Magdalene that morning that she had seen the Lord. And they could have easily dismissed those words as fake news. Right? She has fake news for us. Women, at that time, women were not allowed to testify in court because they weren't reliable witnesses. That's their idea. We know better. Because Mary was a reliable witness. But they would say instead that women were subject to hysteria and couldn't be believed. But Mary reported that she had seen the Lord. Then suddenly, Jesus appeared to, I guess there were 10 disciples in the room at that time. Because Judas wasn't there, and Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you," verse 19. And he shows them the evidence of the wounds in his hands and in his side. And Jesus, who has risen in a physical body that he shows them, is able to go through walls. A locked door isn't a problem for him anymore. Amazing. A stone wouldn't have been a problem. The stone didn't have to be removed to get Jesus out. He was out already. Amazing, amazing. So the disciples rejoiced after seeing the evidence. Mary's testimony had been vindicated. All of that happened when Thomas wasn't there. So when the others tell him, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." Those are the exact words used by Mary Magdalene. Thomas is skeptical. And you know what? I don't have any problem with him being skeptical at that point. How come you got to see him and I didn't? Like, what's going on here? It was wild speculation as far as he was concerned. And remember that Thomas is a thinker. You know, he was saying that, he said to Jesus, "Where you go, we want to go too." And Jesus said, "You don't know where I'm going." And so Thomas is thinking and questioning all of this stuff. He wasn't afraid. If Thomas was in our community, we would probably think he was a little nuts and probably wonder what kind of tinfoil hat he wore at night to keep the aliens away. But you have to listen even to people like that. And Jesus Christ and the gospel can stand up to any scrutiny, anything that you want to bring. Questions are not a problem for him. We often call Thomas a doubter, but the truth is all that he was after. And so he's willing to push back at times and take on a crazy sort of a demeanor. But look at Thomas. The other disciples all got to see the wounds. They all got to see Jesus. They all got to experience the risen Lord. Is he nuts to not want the same thing? These are guys that he had spent the last 3 years with, sharing everything, and he misses out. He actually becomes one of the seven in the next chapter, or the next verses, that see the Lord again. But he just wants what the other disciples have already got. And I can't fault him for that. Jesus doesn't refer to Thomas as a doubter. But he says, do not doubt, but believe. And that's the trick here. And Jesus leaves us with that. He says, it's better that we believe, right? Let me get the verse. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. How many of us have seen the risen Lord? Not many. But yet we believe. We get to experience his presence like the disciples did, because his presence goes with us everywhere. But few of us have seen. And so he's saying, blessed are you who believe. Who believe. Take a moment to believe, as Dawson said this morning. Just take a moment. John implies powerfully, I think, that the presence of Jesus should be enough for us. The presence of Jesus should be enough. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we take the presence of Jesus to reside within us. We become a living, walking temple of the Most Holy God. His presence is with us everywhere, and his John is implying through what the story he's telling that his presence is sufficient for us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. John is speaking to his audience there and in future generations. So let's talk about the conspiracy theory again. Charles Colson was special counsel to President Richard Nixon. Charles Colson. Anybody remember that name? Chuck Colson, yep. Part of the Watergate scandal, which was an actual conspiracy. It's not a theory. This was an actual conspiracy. People were found guilty of this conspiracy. And he actually was in prison for 7 months. While he was in prison, he became a Christian and remarked that it was his own criminal conviction that proved to him that the resurrection was true. He writes, "I know the resurrection is a fact and that Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put into prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true." Think about that for a second. You know, I would have given it up in a heartbeat. You know?
If it wasn't true.
Yep, if it wasn't true. That's a good word. They would not have endured if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world at the time, and they couldn't keep that lie going for 3 weeks. You're telling me that 12 apostles would keep that lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible, he says. These were men that were the movers and shakers of the time. They could have people disappeared if they needed to. And they couldn't keep that secret. The apostles, who were just ordinary folk, kept it. Because it was true. How do you deny the truth? Jesus was resurrected from the dead. John wrote his gospel not only to give us evidence for Christ, but also to bring us to faith in Christ. As he put it later in the text, "But these things are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Ultimately, our belief in the resurrection of Jesus is a matter of faith backed by evidence. When we believe, we begin to see all that God has done, all that God has made possible through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's a way of life and a way to life by believing the gospel truth. Wow. Now that's a phrase that's accepted even in a court of law. The gospel truth. What I'm telling you is the gospel truth. The gospel is true. The apostles lived and died for it. We have it to live and die for. We are in a time unlike any other that any of us have lived through. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've been through. You've never been through a time like this. Our faith is being tested all the time. Will we do the simple things that Jesus has called us to do? Or will we remain totally selfish in this time, just doing our own thing and taking care of ourselves? This is a time when we can actually move to a different level in Christ. We can come out of this thing better than we went into it. Look for the joy of Christ every day. Find that place. Play some music. Let it rise up within you. Pray. Read the word till you get a witness in your spirit. A physical witness that you are with God. And at that point, connect to the joy that's within you. Because that will make you better in the end. This is a time to make good habits. And not go with the habits that everybody else is going with. Break those habits, take on new ones, and live your life for Christ. Ron, would you come and pray for us? Would that be okay?
Praise the Lord. Good word. Who are we going to live for? You know, there's really no one else to live for but Christ. Pastor Randy was talking about belief, and I had been reading earlier today in Mark about when Mary came out of the tomb, she went to tell of Jesus, and it says, and they didn't believe. And then on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't believe, and it went on and on. And praise you, Lord. And that's the, in this last week, I've had a bit of a hard time. I've had a number of opportunities to share the Lord with some people. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking quite clearly. But basically, it was just rejection. People did not want to hear. And I think that somewhat they're caught up in all that's happening right now, and it's brought some confusion too. But the time is coming when those same people, I think, are going to be having questions, and they're looking for the answers. So that's what we need to be equipped for. After all of the unbelief, the last time that later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's the word for us, is we want to stay focused on what the Lord has told us to do, to preach the gospel. It's interesting, as Pastor Rennie had said, you know, we hear these different theories, right? But you know what? But we have truth. We have truth here. And the thing is, I'm constantly hearing people say, well, that scripture, your Bible is just written by men. This is history, his story. It's historical. And more people need to see that this is more than just the scriptures. This is a historical book of truth. And the truth that in it is, it's documented and supported throughout Scripture all the way. This is Jesus from the beginning to the end. So, Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the question is belief. What do I believe? Do I just listen to theories? But, Father, in the heart of every man, I believe that you've put it there, that there's that place of wanting to know who we are, what's our life about, where we're going, what's really important. And as many times as I go over that in my heart, I keep coming back to the place that the only place that I'm going to have peace and have some resolve in that is when I stay focused on you. So, Father, even today, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, over the airways and people that are here now. We thank you for an opportunity to hear your truth, to come together and just savor your presence. And, Father, for each of us, wherever we're sort of caught up and maybe confused with the days and what we're going through, that you, by your Spirit, you just draw us back to stay on focus, to just keep you at the main focus, Father. And I know that as each one of us does that we get that peace. We can come into peace. So, Father, I would just ask by your Spirit, even now, bless your people. For those that are sick, those that are dealing with issues, Lord, we do speak the healing virtues of Jesus Christ upon each one. And for those that are battling things in their mind, in their thinking, Father, that even now I ask by your Spirit that you would just cause peace to come upon your people, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So, Father, today, as we continue on through this day, help us just to take that position that whatever the rest of the day holds, that we can stay focused on you and that our hearts would hear from you, hear what you're saying in our relationships, with our families, that today we would believe in you.
Yes.
Amen.
Words. Thank you, Ron. Now, yeah.
Ron said something about confusion.
Confusion, okay. Uh-huh. Yes. So, in case you didn't hear, Dawson is saying that confusion brings fear, and fear can drive both ways. It can drive you away, or it can draw you near. The fear of God draws us near, and so he says they're coming. Ron was saying that they don't believe the Bible because it's written by men. And yet they'll believe the internet, which is written by men. Does it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty well established. Scientists believe that it's established that Jesus lived and was resurrected. But whether they want to believe that or not is quite another thing. Yeah, yeah. So it's a good thing. We are in an incredible time. This is a time of opportunity. This is not a time to live with less. This is a time to be driven by the Holy Spirit toward our destinies. This is the time that we were specially selected for to live through and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. We are the ones that have been entrusted with it, and all of heaven is watching us, cheering us on. A great cloud of witness is saying, you go and do it. I wish I was there with you. We've got it. Go and do. Be blessed in Jesus' name.